Matthew tells us that Jesus began his ministry by quoting the prophet Isaiah, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the shadow of death, light has dawned." So Jesus cites the Old Testament prophetic tradition that God will shed light like a sunrise, like new life. Remember also that the Magi came following a star, a light in the sky. The coming of the light is clearly a cosmic event meant for the whole world. Luke's gospel tells us also about Simeon in the temple, who says when he sees the infant Jesus, "My eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So again, this light will not be restricted or limited in any way. No person or nation is outside of its rays. John's gospel gives us the activity and the power of this light. He says, "Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." In his second letter to the Corinthians, a passage that we have from today, Paul puts it in an entirely different way. He says that in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. Well, if God's promise is that a light will dawn, as the prophets testify in advance, it is a person who fulfills that promise to be the yes of God, to be the light. I don't think we have too much trouble appreciating that message. That's the faith that we profess, after all. However, it is a bit shocking that Jesus turns to a crowd, an ordinary crowd of people like us, trying to live our lives the best we can, and he says, "You are the salt of the world. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Wait a minute. What? Me? Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." But only God is the light. How did we get to be the light? I remember a comedian talking about being a child watching TV by himself when the commercial came on about forest fire prevention. I don't know if people remember Smokey the Bear. In a humorous way, he talked about being traumatized when Smokey the Bear pointed directly at him through the TV and said, "Only you can prevent forest fires." That was quite a burden to place on a child. But how much different is that than the sense of responsibility when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Your deeds must be for others a sign of the glory of God." Well, I suppose in a sense we can reflect the light of God, like Mary, like Joseph, like the saints, like the angels who are in the presence of God and they see the beatific vision and radiate that to those who will allow it into their lives. Yesterday, the daily gospel reading began what will be a series of readings from chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew's gospel. These three chapters, Augustine called the Magna Carta of the Christian life. He says that if we had nothing else from Jesus' teaching, we would know his heart and the summary of his teaching from these three chapters. And of course, we call these three chapters the Sermon on the Mount. It is a great time to familiarize ourselves with this summary of Jesus' teaching. Yesterday it was the Beatitudes, today it is the teaching on salt and light. Well, we know that Jesus is presented as the fulfillment of the Old Covenant, the Torah, the life-giving law, which transformed ordinary human existence into a covenant relationship with the one holy God. Today's psalm, Psalm 119, that we have a small passage from, this remarkable psalm goes on page after page after page, describing how wonderful and full of light and life is the law of God. It's quite a litany. It's this incredible love song in a way, I think. His decrees are wonderful. His commandments are righteous. His precepts fill human longing. His ordinances are good. It is one long love song to God, whose love is pure light and grace. And that is received to us through his law, through his covenant, through his precepts, through his commandments. That old covenant was sealed by the sprinkling of an animal's blood on the people. We just celebrated the new covenant in Christ's blood poured out on the cross at the Feast of Corpus Christi on Sunday. Now, Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of that law of love, that light. He is the new love song himself. And on that mountain, he tells us that our identity is wrapped up in his own precious light. Sometimes we can see that light in the world, and sometimes it's pretty dark out there. Sometimes the world reflects the light better than at other times. Right now, the world is demanding a light to shine on the tragedy of residential schools, a government policy frequently carried out by the churches to take First Nations children away from their family and their community identity. And even while the secular culture wants abortion and euthanasia as human rights, there is still an awareness that children's lives ending in unmarked graves is a terrible darkness. Our job, our task, our very identity, Jesus says, is to be in the world what Jesus says we already are. How the world longs for a light to shine in the darkness. A woman named Linda Ellis wrote a poem called The Dash. Maybe you know it. Just a little bit of it. She says, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the first came, the date of birth, and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. It goes on, but I think, to me, that kind of reflected what Jesus is saying about our lives, the dash in between those dates, that is the time, the space of time during which we reflect the light of God, Jesus' life, whom we call our Savior. There was one more verse that I was going to read. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. So I guess that's kind of the summary of it. But I'm going to conclude with Cardinal Newman's prayer called Radiating Christ. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Jesus, stay with me. And then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Well, brothers and sisters, that's who Jesus says we are, the light of Christ. Not our own light, but light nevertheless. And I think you know that the world needs us. The world needs that light.